Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Holder Mess podcast. Today we are talking to a wedding planner specialist.
And she has some crazy stories.
Crazy. Like Jerry Springer level crazy.
I just stepped on you while you were talking there.
Oh my gosh. And funny you should say that. She says that she can tell that if a marriage is going to be successful based on the wedding planning experience.
Just for those of you who are listening to us for the first time, Kim makes me write a different open every time we do a podcast. And we have a guest today, and we're going to let her pick. So, Megan, would you rather hear a classical Baroque song or a death metal song to open your podcast?
Ooh, let's go death metal.
Death metal? Okay, here we go. Let's start the podcast.
Are you ready for the Holder Mess podcast with Penn and Kim? Relationship! Family quarrels! Learning to deal with our emotions, managing expectations and parenting advice. And why is our dog a demon from hell? And why is our dog a demon from hell?
Oh my god, okay, stop.
Yeah!
No, fade. Fade.
Did you get all the lyrics?
I did not, and okay. I'm okay with that.
Maybe the classical Baroque well, next time.
I guess we could play them both if you wanted. By the way, those words were, why is our dog a demon from hell?
Which we're going to get to in a later episode. Yeah. Today is all about weddings.
Can I do a little house cleaning here?
House cleaning?
We have really enjoyed doing these first few episodes and have gotten a lot of great response from our listeners and those who are subscribing. Thank you for doing so. Make sure and download this podcast or subscribe or whatever you do on whatever platform you have. One of the most interesting things I've learned is that I say the word like as if I am a 14-year-old and I can't stop.
We're going to work on it.
I'm going to work on it. And here's how I'm going to work on it. Every time I say the word like, we're going to try to count it. Okay. It's going to happen so much. I'm going to donate $1.
Oh.
To the MeFine Foundation for every time I say like on this episode.
Yeah. The MeFine Foundation is an amazing organization here in North Carolina, and it helps and supports children and family going through cancer.
And we'll pick a different one every week until I eradicate like from my vocabulary.
Awesome. Okay.
Okay, good.
Now on to the podcast. Okay. Today is all about weddings. Specifically, let's rehash our wedding, shall we?
Yeah.
Our wedding was not the best day of my life.
You're leading with that.
Right? Does that disappoint you when you hear that?
I guess it disappoints me more when you say it to other people.
Well, I think there are so many expectations that come with a wedding. And had I known more about myself back then, that 13 years ago, I am much more of an introvert. I'm much more comfortable around small groups of people. But I just thought you were supposed to have a really big wedding. And you always wanted a really big wedding since you were a little girl. So we had a really big wedding. And I was so painfully uncomfortable. So I love that I married you. And marrying you was the best decision of my life. But the actual wedding day, it was fine.
Let me clean up some stuff here.
Okay.
Other than my brother who got married in Thailand, my wedding was the smallest wedding my family has ever had.
See? I know.
My family is from Eastern North Carolina. They invite the whole town.
Yes.
To their, like, the invitation. There it is. That's $1 for me. Fine. The invitation was for the entire town.
They probably publish it in the newspaper, right?
Yes, they did. So I expected
that to be
the norm. You and I came from different places.
Right.
And we didn't talk about that. We just went.
We came from places of my parents didn't really have a lot of money. And also, but also just I would have loved just to get married on a beach.
You did.
Not really. It was near
the
beach.
We were at the beach.
No, it was anyway.
Oh, you mean on the beach?
Yes.
No shoes, sunset, dolphins,
but
people.
I think that weddings bring out the very, very best in people, and I think it brings out the very, very worst in people.
This feels like a good segue.
This does. Our guest today is Megan Gillikin. Am I saying that right? Gillikin?
Right. No G. She doesn't have an island.
So she is owner of A Southern Soiree, which is a wedding planning company, and she's also a fellow podcaster.
She has
a podcast called Weddings for Real.
Weddings for Real.
Yes. That's and it. She's going to kind of help us rehash all of the wonderful things about weddings and then maybe some pitfalls to avoid.
I feel like she's a wedding therapist. She's going to talk us through what we did right.
Totally a
and
wedding
what
therapist.
We did wrong.
Yes.
Is that good?
Yes.
I say that's like 40% of my job, truly, in working with couples is talking them off the ledge and dealing with crazy family dynamics. And
yeah.
Right. Because it's real. I think that... So... What do you do when a bride and a groom, so you have a crazy bride who wants a very, very small wedding, and then a groom who's dreamed of a big wedding ever since he was a little girl.
I didn't dream of anything. It was just the way I thought it was supposed to be.
So how many people did you have at your wedding?
So we had...
200. Are we talking about how many guests?
Was it 200?
We sent out like 209 invites, and we had 208 people who showed up.
Wow.
It was a large...
That's a pretty big wedding. Yeah. It's
right?
a pretty big wedding.
That's mm-hmm. a really big wedding.
Yeah.
And I didn't know... So here's my problem, is that I didn't know a lot of them.
And that makes for, like, not honestly a great time for you on the wedding day, because you're so busy, like, talking to guests and feeling like you have to be the host that you're not actually necessarily enjoying the day, like you said.
Right. And my rule after we got married, my rule was you have to be a good guest. So any wedding I go to from now on, I make an effort to go see the bride and groom very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I do a jazz hands. Hey, oh my gosh, I'm having, and I let them know that I'm having the best time of my life. I'm like, this is amazing. You look amazing. The food is amazing. Everything's great. Thanks for inviting us. Bye.
Bye.
And then I
come see me if you need me.
So you're not that guest that corners them and talks to them for 15 minutes about.
We are great on a dance floor. So then we get dancing started.
I've seen your dance moves.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying the dance moves are great. But so we take that on as like, this is our gift to you. We got you a place setting of China and we're going to dance with your crazy aunt.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Some of my best memories at weddings are dancing.
Yeah.
But I don't remember any of my dancing at our wedding except for our first dance and my dance with my mom.
Yes, that was really good.
But other people's weddings, I can have a lot more fun dancing.
Right.
And I
yeah.
think that happened with us as well.
Right.
So one interesting side note, when she was talking about the number of people, I actually still get cold sweats and am bummed out about the people who were on the like the bubble, if you're a March Madness fan, who were like the first four out, who I didn't get to invite. And they're all still friends of mine. Some of them are closer friends of mine than people who are at the wedding.
The George Masons of the world?
Yes. Yeah.
That didn't make the
Syracuses,
cut.
If you will.
The Pepperdines.
How do you advise people about bubble guests?
So you were also asking about like when you have one person in the relationship that wants like a really small wedding, one that wants a really big wedding.
Yeah.
It's interesting because if you think about marriage, and how long have you been married?
13 years.
Planning a wedding is really the first big compromise that you're having together.
Oh.
If you think about it, because you're deciding, like, what's most important to this person. You know, a lot of my couples actually go to, like, premarital counseling to talk through, which I listened to your episode about, you know.
Yes.
You talk through, like, these things and you figure out how to come together and, you know, have something that is most important to you and also most important to you and find those compromises. Like, if you say, you know, I really want to invite, you know, these people, then, you know, maybe you give a little in some of the guests on your list that are not that important to you.
Right.
And then I think When it comes to like small wedding versus big wedding, think about when you envision the day. This is what I tell my couples is when you envision the day, how do you see, like, what is most important to you? Is it the food? Is it the dancing? Is it the people? And find that common ground between the two. So, okay. You know, trimming the guest list is also a huge factor when it comes to the budget. So people think, okay, I'm having 200 people. I'm just going to have to get food and beverage for 200 people. But really, it's not just that. Like, there's the flowers, there's the cake, there's the number of linens that you're having to have for the tables.
What was the most important thing to you?
Yeah.
If you had been able to go back and answer that question.
I think the most important thing was the actual service of getting married. Like, the
That part was going to happen no matter what.
I heard that more, actually. I really wish
it was cool. My dad was the pastor, and he was awesome.
And my stepdad was a pastor as well. So we had a lot of God up in there. And no, but I think the actual service itself is what I was like. And after that, everybody could have gone home, and I've been fine.
Let me rephrase. Had you had asked her, and she'd asked you about the most important thing in the reception, which was what we really didn't love as much as the actual service, what would have been the one thing that you were most wanting to do?
Hide in the corner and let nobody talk to me.
So true. And we had it happen, the dang receiving line.
Oh, no.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, there was a line of people
That's the worst idea ever.
No, we didn't intend for it to happen, but all of a sudden a line formed.
Right, and so here's what you have to do in a receiving line. Hey, oh my gosh, how are you? How are the kids?
Thanks,
okay, shut up and move along. Mm-hmm. We've got, like, you can't not do that because otherwise the people... You're being rude to the person in front of you or rude to the person behind you unless you engage the exact perfect amount.
Mm-hmm.
And it's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Well, you always have that aunt, I think, that's going to stop and be like, I remember when you were four. And actually, I brought a picture that I wanted to show. And the receiving line is not a good idea.
How do you suggest getting rid of that?
So I think it's pretty easy to cut out. What I tell my couples is instead of having the receiving line during dinner while everyone is seated, just kind of like start walking around. Walking around to the tables and just being like, thanks so much for coming, moving around that way.
Proactive.
Yeah, that way you're also not cutting out on your dancing time. So if you're big dancers, like, I get my couple's food before, I'm hearing myself say like now that you're doing
it. It's okay. Hey, we're raising money. We're raising money for good.
I'll put money too.
You know what? Put her likes on my tabs. We're good.
Anyway, then you're not cutting out on like the fun part of the reception by going around and greeting guests. During dinner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And I do also, I think, again, weddings and funerals bring out the very, very best in people and also the very worst in people.
For sure.
So what do you tell people about, I had some crazy family dynamics happening. Mm-hmm. So what do you tell people on how to deal with personalities, that type?
Oh, I've definitely done like counseling sessions on the wedding day, like pulling aside these family members that are causing an issue and being like, let's remember who this day is about. Like, let's put aside this, you know, difference that you're having between like the dad and the new girlfriend and the mom, and we can't have them seated next to each other and they won't do pictures together and there's all this drama. So I try to really work on those people there at the wedding and pull them out of these difficult situations and remind them this is about, you know, Penn and Kim, and let's remember that this is their day and we can deal with these issues another day.
Have you had to actually say that to people? Or
100%. I have had.
So you jump in there.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Tell me the craziest without breaking confidence.
Family dynamics. I know. Okay. So I did a wedding. This was several years ago. And I will change the names to protect those that are guilty.
The Fieldersons.
The Fieldersons.
Yes.
The mother of the groom and the mother of the bride hated each other.
Like, hated each other.
They used to call me separately and like... they used to call me separately and just trash talk the other. And so there was this issue of like who was paying for what. And what it came down to, their biggest fight was over how many reserve tables they got for their each side of the family.
Okay.
Like, mom wanted two. This mom wanted four, but that wasn't fair. Like,
and those
it was
were
like,
people that the bride and groom didn't necessarily even know. It was just their friends, that kind of thing?
No, this was the moms. The parents' friends and like immediate family and stuff like that. So we get to the wedding day and... they're trying to like sneak in and like put a certain number of reserved tables. Like the mom has decided to go around the other mom and print her own sign so she gets more reserved tables. This really happened. And so I'm trying to like, you know, corral everyone. I'm trying to line up the bridal party for introductions, but now the ballroom doors have opened and guests are going in. And the one mom finds out that the other mom has more reserved tables and has made her own signs. And she goes over to the table. And she goes to grab the sign off the table. The other mom comes over, grabs her arm, and is like, Oh, I was about to say her name for real.
almost came out.
Sally, don't. And then she goes, screw you. And this is like with guests all around. And so I'm trying to like pull the two. I'm like, ladies, come over here. Let's come over here.
Whoa.
Let's walk
Whoa.
Out into like the cocktail.
This is a reality show.
And when I get them outside, I look and I see that the bride has seen all this go down. And now she's crying.
Of course she's crying.
Yeah, she's crying.
Oh, it gets worse. So just makeup streaming yes. sadness oh, that gets down her
even
white dress.
Worse, though.
Oh, no.
Okay, so
Real
now.
Mothers of the bride.
Oh, my
Molly.
Gosh. This yes. is a reality
yes.
show.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So then the mother of the groom refuses to be introduced in, like, you know, when you do the big, like,
yeah.
now we're inviting the parents. The father of. I don't know that I can. I don't think I can say this on the podcast, but the father of the groom is out there talking to the parents, and he goes, "Can I say this?
Say it. And I'll edit it."
He goes, "I hope you get AIDS."
What?
Where did this even come from?
This is important. What year was this?
This was 2009.
Okay.
Did I mean, we were down to like eradicating AIDS.
We were
point.
Down to
so.
One aid.
Yeah.
So, but wait, there's nothing funny about that. But so really, like, I hope you get AIDS.
So then, as the DJ is like, I've got the father of the groom there, and I have the parents of the bride. The mother of the groom is like, I'm out. I'm not being a part of this. And as the father of the groom is walking in to being introduced, he flips the bird at the parents of the bride in front of all of the guests. All of the guests.
What a nightmare.
So we call that the Jerry Springer wedding. Like all of the vendors that were a part of that wedding were like, sure. Remember the Jerry Springer wedding of 2009?
Wow.
Was there a Vince Vaughn? Was there, you know how in old school,
yeah.
Vince Vaughn comes in and saves
no.
drunk
no. There was
Wilson
no saving.
And does the True Love is Blind situation no. that wasn't, Vince Vaughn wasn't there to save this wedding.
No, and I okay. actually ran into this couple at a Mexican restaurant like 6 months post-wedding.
Oh, are they
they're still married?
Married.
Oh, they have
good.
Two children. They're happily married.
Oh, good.
Okay.
They're friends on Facebook. I hope they don't listen to this. But
well,
anyway.
They don't, they're not the ones being incriminated.
That's true.
Here.
But the moms were in counseling. That's what I heard afterwards.
Oh.
They were like, our moms are in
well,
counseling.
Good.
We're working
that,
through
okay.
it. Like. So because it had a kind of happy ending.
Because they're going to be grandmothers together. And
yeah.
they're going to be at like birthday parties and graduations for the
right.
rest of their lives.
But that was definitely one where I had the two moms out there and I was like, ladies, like I understand that there's some differences here, but we need to find some common ground. And look, this is your son and this is your daughter getting married. Like, let's focus on their love.
I could
love.
Never imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So our wedding seems very
yeah.
normal now.
Boring.
Really?
I do want to know, you mentioned that you saw them and they were married and they have kids and they're very happy.
Yes.
When you hear about one of your weddings where they're not together anymore, do you get like super, there's another like, do you get super bummed out?
And
no. take personal responsibility for it?
No,
because
I can see it
flower.
Coming.
Because
oh, you can't.
Oh, I can totally
oh,
see
right,
it
so
coming.
So what are the warning signs?
What's going down before this even happens?
100%. Like if
have
I had to put
been
money
wrong
on it.
When you predicted.
No.
Okay.
Wow. No.
So tell me
okay.
the warning signs.
All right.
Oh, I mean, you can tell. Like, so like we said, planning a wedding is your first biggest compromise. So
yes.
I'm sitting down with this couple and we're talking about like, you know, what's most important to them and the excitement of the day. You can tell just by the way they treat each other in these wedding appointments. Like I've had grooms stand up and walk out of the room because they're fighting over like, I don't know, silly things like the cut of meat for the reception or like the
yeah.
song that she wants to dance to versus what he wants to. And I can always tell.
Really?
Because I think if you can't navigate like what should be a joyous celebration and planning for like, you know, so the excitement of that day, like that's warning sign number one. I also think that what you said, Kim, so you said like you were most excited about the ceremony and like
yeah.
actually getting married. That is not a common answer. Honestly, I think people sometimes get more focused on outdoing like their friends' weddings versus like the excitement of like, I'm marrying this person. Like we're going to
yeah.
have our life together. It becomes focused on the materialistic things, and they don't even really care like what the significant other wants for the day.
I think you and I fought about things because I was so tense about, so
that's
I think
normal.
I got, so I think we fought about stuff, but it was never relationship ending.
No.
Here's what I think we did right. This was not our first compromise because we moved to New York together as we got engaged. So we spent 9 months living together in a tiny apartment before we got married. And I know that's living in sin or whatever.
Whatever.
We weren't going to get two apartments in Manhattan.
No, please.
as an engaged couple, and we had to work some stuff out.
His parents, by the way, I think told people that we were living separately. I think they were so ashamed that we were shacking up. Yeah.
And the people were probably responding with,
"Are you kidding me?
Why? Rent's terrible in Manhattan." Anyway, I think that we had, I think that was something that we did correctly. Mm-hmm. And I know that's, some people are going to get ticked off about this, but by the time we got married, we had worked some really important things out. And it wasn't just like,
right,
we're married and throw them into the fire.
No. Yeah.
How long had you been together even before getting engaged? Just dating until marriage?
We got
about a year.
We dated for a year, we were engaged for a year, and then got married. So
2 years of knowing each other before being married.
Can we introduce? We haven't introduced Max yet. We
got right into this whole thing.
But this is Max, our producer. Hi, Max. I'm sorry.
Max, everybody knows Max.
It's good to hear from you.
And I wonder, as a wedding specialist over here, Megan, is there a correlation to the amount of time you court to getting married as to the success of a nice, happy marriage? Because, like, I'm in a pretty happy marriage, and we courted for 5 years before we got married.
Okay.
So I've been together for 13.
Okay. I was the other end of the spectrum. Jason and I, like, fast-tracked it. We met in January, moved in together in March, got engaged in September, and we're married the next year. Like,
you
super
moved
fast.
In 2 months after knowing each
Isn't
other?
Isn't that crazy? I had to get drunk to tell my mom that was even happening. We were attending a friend's wedding, and I was like, I got to have a certain amount of alcohol to call my mother and be like, so I'm moving in with the guy that you met, like, last week.
Wow.
How'd that go over?
You know, I was drunk enough that
Your
I didn't
voice
really
got
care.
Really hard there.
But we've been married 8 years, so I don't know. I think it's more just the connection. Like, if you meet someone and you know it's gonna work, then it's gonna work. But
right. And that's what I tell people. My grandparents, who were the most happily married couple ever. He told me, because I asked him, I was like in the middle of like dating one of these terrible, I dated like 3 Steves in a row and they were all terrible. And I was like, Granddaddy, tell me, how did you know that you know, Meemaw was going to be your person? And he said, I looked at her and it wasn't if I was going to marry her, it's when could I marry her? And I feel like that's, you just kind of know. And even if you date for 10 years, if you know, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's how much you, like what you said, I think when it comes to planning the wedding and a successful marriage, it's how much you appreciate and care about how your decisions affect that other person. And when I see someone that, you know, it's all about, when brides refer to it as my wedding, my day versus our wedding and our day, that's a sign.
That's a sign. Yeah. Okay. And then have you had a bride or a groom on the day of bolt?
Not on the day of. I have had it 3 weeks before the wedding.
Okay.
And that was from an interesting bachelorette party that she had.
Ooh, more.
Really?
Do tell.
I don't know.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, this is a co-watchable podcast. I think the best way to describe it is she
made some bad decisions.
And he chose not to marry her.
Okay.
I agree.
Got it.
Yeah. That is great. Wow.
So that has happened. I mean, I would say, like, you know, maybe one a year calls off the wedding, but never on the day of. I did have one wedding recently where I didn't know if I was going to get the bride down the aisle. Like, I was trying to coach her. I mean, and I don't think it was necessarily about marrying him. I think it was more over just the nerves and anxiety
and
of the day.
Yeah, people watching you and
she
all that stuff.
She was an introvert, and she was just like, you know, the music was playing, Kane and Indy waiting for her to go. And I was like,
that's understandable.
I get that.
Don't you think most women have it? That happens in a little speck of most women.
I picture most women being so excited. Mm-hmm. I locked eyes with you, and I didn't want anybody else looking at me. I'm like, turn around.
That's very sweet.
That is really sweet.
I was like, don't look at me.
Everyone was looking at you.
And it makes Disney hives right now if you think about it.
We're going to pause from this conversation for a moment. I just want to address something that we talked about earlier in the podcast. I'm donating $1 every time one of us uses the word like to try to work on our vocal tics. I've heard it about 700 times.
Oh, that's
a lot. Go broke, honey.
I feel like I'm going to put a cap on to see if we get to. I feel like $500 is a good donation to get
to
me.
You just said
this is an expensive
like,
podcast.
I know.
Is that okay though? Because you work. That's proper English.
I feel like
I'm sitting over here sweating because I think we've said it 1,000 times. on this podcast. Yeah. And also, I've been paying attention, and I need to start focusing back on what we're talking about.
Yeah, welcome back, Penn.
I'm ADDing so hardcore on when people are saying the word like. See, and I bet you there's someone out there listening who's doing the same thing.
I know. They're going to email you and be like, you said it.
Counter.
Yep. I actually would love it if somebody was listening and took a proper count.
Well, we're capping it at 500, and I guarantee you we're getting there, and everyone's going to be happy. And let's move on.
I think I'm going to go and post and put a little ding every time. Ding. It's it might be really annoying. I say, there is a comment from somebody that's apropos to what you just said. Miss Kahlua Kitty Mama, I'm assuming probably has seven cats.
Okay.
Had a great comment. You guys are two people colliding at the intersection of OCD and ADHD with very little bloodshed.
That honestly is the nicest. I'm going to put that on a pillow.
That's like your description for the podcast.
I know. I'm going to put that on a pillow and have it embroidered because it's so. So somebody actually did make a comment after listening. They're like, Kim, you're not so much of an introvert. You're more OCD. Mm. And
it's a great combination to be living with me, by the way.
He is the biggest slob.
And the biggest extrovert.
So it's my anxiety. And by the way, have been to a therapist who is diagnosed. So I'm not just throwing these words around. So definitely anxiety. But
are you
now
worried about the mommy police again?
Oh, my gosh. The mommy police are out. Yeah.
You don't know what real anxiety is.
You had real anxiety.
She has. Yes.
This poor guy knows it.
Yes. And I have been diagnosed with ADD.
We've all been diagnosed and medicated.
Well, like SADHD, like super attention deficit hyperactive. It's got its own term. And that's
he wears a cape. Yes. He slobs things up. No, absolutely. So is it your theory then, like, even if it doesn't go off without a hitch, but you can tell a good marriage from a good wedding planning?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the wedding day doesn't have to be perfect. Just like you guys are an example of that. A wedding day doesn't have to be perfect for it to mean the marriage won't be perfect.
Right. And we had a lot of little things go on. For example, we had a wedding coordinator because we were living in New York, but I got married in Florida where I grew up and I couldn't do all that stuff. So, and we had no money. So we kind of got her off of, I think, Craigslist. So my bad. But that was like before. That was like 2005. Okay.
I think that was still bad.
And she was very sweet and was just starting her business. And I think she liked weddings. I don't think she was a great coordinator. For example, the groomsmen were all very cute, and she got real drunk at the wedding.
She got drunk
at your
wedding coordinator.
Yes. And guys, I was like, I think it's time to cut the cake.
Oh, no.
We've been here a long time, and I think people need cake because that's a sign to go home, right?
Yikes.
Yeah. And so she was a little drunk. And we, to the point where there was like, they never did the champagne toast. Like, we did, there was a lot of stuff we paid for that never happened. And we got a refund we got some money back from the reception site because so many things that were scheduled to happen didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so we got money back, which was great.
Yeah.
But that just, it was like, she got us there.
I can't believe she drank at the wedding.
You're not supposed to drink?
No. I mean, no.
Hang on.
No. I mean, a lot of weddings make me want to drink, but I don't drink at the wedding.
Okay.
Once you're done with the wedding.
When I get home, I will.
You're allowed to.
So I have had an intern that was on day 4 with me that I had to fire because she drank at the wedding. Like, to me, it seems like common sense. Like, you're working a wedding. You don't drink.
That's hospitality in you. That's because you've been in the business.
Right. I guarantee you've been offered drinks.
Oh, for sure.
Many, many, many drinks. That's what happens at weddings.
She got after it. Because, again, the groomsmen were super cute. And
so what you said about you think she liked weddings.
Right.
I see that a lot, like where I feel like people maybe plan their own wedding.
Right.
And think that they're so good at it. Their friends told them they were really good at it. And now they're going to become a wedding planner. And it's interesting because what I think about that is like, well, of course it was fun planning your own wedding. Like, it was a celebration of you. You were the host of honor. It was a guest came, they brought you gifts, like you picked out the food, it was the colors that you wanted. That's not the same as planning weddings for a living, like with whole different like family dynamics and, you know, different budgets and different likes and dislikes.
There's a big difference.
So here's a question. As a wedding planner, how do you ensure that the bride and groom are able to eat food?
Yes, that is super important. So I'm one of those people that gets hangry if I don't eat. Mm-hmm. So I think about that.
We couldn't get to our food. We couldn't get to it. It was sitting right there and we could not.
So here's a little tip. What I like to do is during the cocktail hour, while all of the guests are like having cocktails, mm-hmm. I set aside a room for the bride and groom and have their food all ready for them because I want them to eat before the dinner.
And so they get some alone time too.
Yes. You're okay. just married, like even just 10 minutes to like scarf down a couple crab cakes or something.
Give me some
We missed our cocktail hour because Kim wanted to drive to this beautiful area 20 minutes away to take wedding pictures.
It was on the way.
20 minutes.
And those are the most beautiful pictures. If I could have just, that honestly, that was the happiest part of the day for me because we got to be alone in this beautiful place and take these beautiful photos.
Yeah.
And we literally missed nothing but the cocktail hour. Who
Which
cares?
Is the best part.
And he, that was the most annoying part to him, that he couldn't go.
Not the most annoying part, but I would have loved to have gotten, if we had had some like Taco Bell and a couple of Mick Ultras in this.
True. I would have made
to,
that
like,
happen
fill
for
us
you.
Up or
I would have made that
exactly.
happen for you.
So,
and I think the extrovert in you was probably like, oh, we have all these people together. I want to hang out with them as much as possible.
Yeah,
and you were like, eh.
I'm it's very people-y over there. Yeah. I'd like to stay here.
Over here in the corner.
You're exactly right, though. Cocktail hour. I missed the opportunity to really talk to some of the people that I wanted to because I felt like you could have done that.
Sure.
And then once you get inside, it's more of the
more formal
older generation
yeah.
who are standing in a line wanting to talk to you. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. No, but it's.
Hang on. The wedding wasn't all terrible.
This is my life also. I make things sound. It was great. We had fun. You know what we did was my favorite is we got married on a Friday and the Saturday after friends and we went to the beach.
So you had like a more laid back, just casual.
Full day.
That I loved.
Yeah, that's nice. That's
and that, my dad, my friends thought it was really. They brought a beer bong to the beach and my dad did a couple.
Amazing. I hope with you have pictures of that.
But they ran out of beer, so he did it with rum and coke and he's not a big drinker.
And he threw up three times on the way home.
And so that was...
He didn't drive.
Did he pull over?
No, his wife was driving. God bless her. But he knocked three times on the way home.
So
it's a great story.
Good times. Good times, Ken. Yeah. So that was a good day.
Yeah. And I think that should be recommended because you get married and you're super stressed out and it's been a long day. And then the next morning you would wake up at 6 a.m. and get on a plane to some sort of honeymoon.
That's
so
what
that
we did.
Buffer day felt really nice.
Yeah, the buffer day is key. We got up at, I think it was 6 a.m. the day after. I forgot all sorts of stuff packing because you're so focused on like the wedding itself that when you're packing for the honeymoon, you're just throwing stuff in. And we forgot sunscreen, so I think we paid like $45
exactly.
for sunscreen at the resort, and it was...
That's a good deal.
Can I just have to interject, because this is a ridiculous moment in my wedding, but we left for Spain the very next morning after the wedding, and we all had our tuxedos, and I was wearing said tuxedo for the whole after party, and we were at a karaoke bar at some point, and I realized at the very end of the night, oh shoot, I've got to get this tuxedo back
to
someplace. And my groomsmen are great guys, but I said, George, can I put you in charge of the tuxedo? He's like, yeah, I got you, man.
Uh-oh.
So that's fine. But then we weren't thinking all the way through, and we realized at the very end of the night, oh, I have to take my tuxedo off to give it to you.
Oh,
so
nice.
Then and then I was like, well, how do we
naked.
Do this? Yeah, and I ended up, George drove home with us in the in the limousine.
That's so romantic.
And then proceeded to watch me undress down to my underwear. Outside of the limousine. She's just standing there watching.
Like, this is our wedding night that I pictured.
Yeah. And I gave him all of my clothes, turned around in my undies, and just picked her up and carried her up over the banister.
Story.
So you had your threshold moment.
The threshold.
You were just in a banana hammock and nothing else. You were just ready to roll.
Are there wedding trends that you wish would die?
Oh, wedding trends that I wish would die. Luckily, we're getting away from like that whole burlap rustic style. And I think people are focusing more on like who they are. So Pinterest has been a blessing and also like more maybe of a curse when it comes to wedding planning, because couples come in and they have like 400 things that they've pinned. And they don't all go together. Like, you've got this, like...
I want a modern, rustic, mid-century...
At what point was burlap ever a part of anyone's wedding?
That was a super huge trend. You know this is a thing? Yeah.
Burlap? Did we have burlap in our wedding?
Not a stitch of burlap.
Oh, we didn't have burlap in our wedding, too.
Is it the seats or, like, what they're wearing? Do they wear a burlap tux?
like, tablecloths.
Tablecloths and just, like...
Itchy.
Yeah, it's not a good trend. But, yeah, so people come in and they've got these 400 pins, and it's like, here's your little burlap table runner. But then it goes, like you said, like more glam style. And I'm like, how can we bring these five different sort of feels into one wedding? So that those trends, like the over the top, like you've got over the top glam and rustic chic, as you put it.
Rustic chic.
Yeah.
Did we? I don't even think we had it. We couldn't afford a theme.
No.
We had flowers.
No, you know what?
We just said put some flowers in the middle of the table.
Yeah. So moms.
It was in a strip mall.
Moms love themes. Like moms that are planning weddings love themes. I had a wedding, I guess it was like 4 years ago. And when I'm working with the mom, it's a much more different experience than when I get to work with the couple.
Better or worse?
Worse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's how I thought we were
because
going.
Sometimes the mom has, again, lost sight of the fact that the wedding is about the bride and groom, and instead it becomes a party.
Yeah, the enchantment under the sea theme.
Yes.
She's got her
You're
mind on.
Exactly
got
right. It. And she's wanting to do what she didn't get to do for her wedding because her mom planned her wedding, you know, 30, 40 years ago. But I've had a couple moms come in and be like, so my friends have said that we need a theme, like a theme to work off
of. Do they whisper like that and talk very closely?
Yes.
I'm imagining this and it's very vivid.
They're leaning over. And so the theme.
She's a New Yorker for some reason.
I went seashells everywhere.
Well, so one theme that I've had to work with, I really try to like get away from the theme, but the mom's like, what I've come up with is swirling in romance. Swirling.
That's not a theme.
Yeah.
That's hypnotism.
It was.
That's not.
I tried. We butted heads so much over the planning because she kept being like, well, how does this play into the swirling and romance theme?
So
it was on the ceremony programs. It was on the place cards. Like it said like Megan Gilligan.
Yeah. So was there like a snow cone machine that was like chocolate vanilla? Like
no, the linens had like swirls in them.
Oh, I'm imagining like pinwheels.
No. It was like swirls of like sequin and just like anywhere we could put a swirl, there was a swirl.
What is this? Like a tornado?
You know, just like a, you know, just a little
swirl.
Yeah, a swirl. Like on the linens and on the programs and just everywhere. Swirling in romance.
Oh.
And I'm so thinking toilet flushing.
Yeah. Swirling. We called it I can't say that either. Swirling in BS. That's what we called it. And so on the wedding day, Gina that works with me, we had a bet to see who could say swirling in romance enough, more to the mom.
Elevate it. Really elevate it.
Yeah, this is really... This has captured the essence of swirling and romance. Who could say it more to the mom? Like, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
DJ or band?
Probably band. I mean, I think there's something to like that live entertainment that is amazing. Although bands can be divas on the wedding day.
Right.
Yeah.
We had a band booked that was really expensive and they ended up backing out. And which was fine
because we saved money
because we couldn't afford
it. Did you have
it. A DJ? We had a DJ.
We did. He was very sweet, but he sounded give it a bow. He sounded like part auctioneer, part radio guy.
And he played, God bless him, some really good booty music.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was important.
But here's the thing that people, and especially Penn's sweet family, they're very. Sweet
and
proper. Well, I think they'd never seen that before.
Let me jump in here. Kim was a dazzler at the University of Florida.
Jazz hands.
A dazzler is the collection of the prettiest, best dancing women at the University of Florida.
Stop.
They all showed up, and once DMX came on,
I mean,
breaking it down.
It was so awesome. All of my friends were like, all right, now the wedding started. And then my aunts and uncles, like the dads were like, all right. And my aunts were like grabbing
they had their handbags and you could tell in their eyes. They're like, okay.
It was time for them to go. It was time for them to go.
I think there's that time. Like
that last hour, that last set that he dropped.
I know, that was good.
That doesn't count in our we didn't have fun part. That was fun.
Did you guys have a videographer?
We did.
It was the DJ. He had
his friend.
Don't get me started on that.
My Aunt Jenny also filmed it, and it was amazing.
Her gift to us
was official wedding video.
She shot it. So that's the one we watched because he does a lot of like fades.
Oh, that was super trendy.
A lot of
star wipes.
Yeah, a lot of fades.
The softening on
little vignette action. But Jenny.
She's awesome.
She got all the great moments. She knew when to zoom in on certain things. Do you remember Love Actually?
Yeah.
When the guy shot the great wedding video, but not as creepy as that? It was very well done.
Yeah.
So
she wasn't in love with either of us.
And aren't you so glad that you have like those moments to look back on?
Yes.
That I think is the biggest thing that I think if there was one regret that I see most of my couples have is if they don't hire a videographer.
Mm-hmm.
Like having the toast and the first dances and those things that like you – won't remember if you don't have it.
If you don't see it.
It's such a blur.
And I remember looking at Jenny and thinking, is she having any fun at all? Because she had that camera in her hand. I don't care anymore because she saved it for us. We're not going to have a video if it weren't for her.
Right.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't say I don't care, but I'm very grateful that she did it. And she did seem to be enjoying herself.
Yeah. And she got the booty music. She wasn't afraid of the booty.
She stuck around for that.
She stuck around for the booty.
Yeah. Like that Two Live Crew song that started.
Oh, I mean, yes, I do remember. That was a good moment.
It was good stuff.
That was good stuff. Anyway, I think we also have, I don't think they're wedding related, but we have some random questions from the interwebs.
Yeah. And if Megan wants to jump in, she's more than welcome to.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
It's a little off topic, but I think it's still a good question because a lot of people have asked. For one, people are loving the podcast. It's Yay. Like a peek behind the curtain. Mm. Kids love the videos. So they're asking, what's your video workflow like?
It makes it sound like we have a workflow, doesn't it?
Yeah, we don't.
It does not. We need one. If you could suggest one, that would be. So here's what happens.
Yeah.
In some cases, I'll say, you know what we should do? We should do a song about how school's about to end and all the terrible things that are happening at the end of school year in May or something like that. And then Penn will go upstairs into their little workroom and then come out 2 hours later with a song and then we shoot it.
If it takes me more than 2 hours, we scrap it.
Yes.
Because that's like, was it Da Vinci or something? Somebody says if they don't have it instantly, they don't do it.
Just like Da Vinci.
I haven't compared to Leonardo. I didn't know he said that. He's right, though.
Something like if your inspiration doesn't hit immediately, then just move on.
I feel the same way. So true inspiration is an idea that's already out there that you need to just pluck out of the universe. And if it's already there, then it's a lot easier to discover. If it's something that you have to create out of thin air, it takes a lot longer, and it's not true inspiration, and it sucks by definition.
Well, don't most of our theme songs, aren't you writing them like
10,
the morning right before you get over here?
Yeah.
I forgot this morning.
And I said, so have you written the intro song? She's like, oh, well. And so he wrote those, in about 10.
11 minutes, both.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We have another question, and that is, does your children, Lola and Penn Charles, want to have your job someday or show interest at least in them?
I think so.
I don't know.
Charles wants to be an American Ninja Warrior at this point.
Right.
That's eight. A little different.
Yeah, he's eight, and he wants to be an American Ninja Warrior. Lola, it depends on the day. Sometimes she wants to be a scientist, like a crime scene
or
analyst.
Or a veterinarian.
But I could see her, both of them, being very talented writers. They both love to write. Lola's a little more introverted, so I don't know that she'll pick up a camera and go selfie mode ever.
We're trying to encourage a lot of creative writing to go along with the other stuff that we do, which is...
Are you running out of ideas, Penn? Is that why?
Yeah.
You're looking for your daughter?
Could you pick up the slack?
Okay. Well, we've done over 100 songs.
It's
more than some bands have done. Yeah. Granted, we're stealing their music, but it's
yeah.
But that being said, Penn is, we're kind of putting an emphasis on more original music, so... Stay tuned
like
for
our
that.
Opens.
Oh,
yeah,
nice. Yeah.
Yeah. But better. So speaking of music, Megan, on this podcast, we have something called Instant Talent Show, where we surprise Penn with songs, and we just throw them out there, and we see if he can play them.
Ooh.
Sometimes it's great.
So maybe this should be like wedding themes.
Exactly.
This is a wedding.
That's what I was thinking. So is there a really common first dance song?
People are loving Ed Sheeran right now.
Ooh.
Like the, what is that?
The Shape of You?
No, not that one.
I know what it is.
Oh, okay.
Screaming in the car with your flailing arms. That's the one we wrote.
Oh, did you do?
Yeah, we did.
Sorry, screaming
in the dark with your waving arms. A mini man in there. I am a billionaire now. I'm a murderer. Darling, you look perfect today.
Yeah, Yay! That was good. That was really good.
Are there any other hits?
Oh, what else?
You can go old school. You can do...
What I about? Have a suggestion, though.
What?
What was the first song you two danced to?
Oh, okay. We did Overkill which is really a really random song, but because he used to sing it to me.
Oh, Overkill. Is this it?
Colin Hay.
Cut by Colin Hay. Men at Work.
Oh, yeah.
I can't get to sleep. Think about the implications.
Nice.
Diving in too deep. Possibly the something something. Day after day reappears. I haven't done this in a while. Night after night, my heartbeat shows appears. Ghosts appear and fade away. And then it goes up high. I can't get no sleep! And yeah, so we don't need to do all that.
That's awesome. So, yeah, Penn, when we first started talking, we'd actually talk on the phone for like weeks at a time, and we would just talk on the phone for 4 hours at a time.
My phone used to smell like my breath the next morning because we talked for like three hours. Oh my
God. And so he would, and then it just got back, he would just like play song. He put the phone down and I would just call out song
That's
requests.
Really cute.
I know, right? And so really that was cute. Like the first song he played, and then that was our wedding song.
Yeah, it's not really a romantic song. It just it meant something to us.
Yeah, and yeah,
it's about insomnia and anxiety,
which I have.
Hey, that's marriage. That's marriage, right?
You can't sleep, and you're going to be really anxious. Preview. So another on that. So somebody on Facebook suggested "Tainted Love." Is that something you can play on a guitar?
Not really.
What about so the most common father-daughter dance I hear is "My Girl." Can you do "My Girl"?
Ooh.
Sure.
I don't know if that's... Is that...
Yeah.
I got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I got the month of May. I'm a pop it over. Yeah, yeah. I guess you say what can make me feel this way. My girl.
Okay.
Fucking ball.
Sorry. No.
Bring that, that went a little death metal.
Yeah, yeah, I'm terrified.
Okay, I think we're done.
Are we done?
Okay.
That was a good answer.
Okay, okay, Megan, thank you so much for joining us. Tell people where they can find you.
Oh, yes. So check out my podcast. It's called Weddings for Real. And I sit down with other wedding vendors. We tell crazy stories, talk about the behind the scenes of the industry, and we have a lot of fun. We like to drink a bottle of wine while we do it.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. I feel like we should incorporate that into our podcast.
We record at 9 in the morning.
I mean...
So do I.
anywhere else? You have Twitter?
Yeah. So we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Weddings for Real. Check it out.
Okay. Thank you so much, Megan.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you, producer Max.
Remember to subscribe to this podcast. Leave us a rating, review, and email us your questions at holdermesspodcast@gmail.com.
And we're going to count up in just a second the tally and let you know how much money we raised for MeFine Foundation. I feel like you girls really helped me out today.
Sorry.
Bye.
If you're playing along at home and would like to know how many likes were mentioned in today's episode, it was like 157 likes. We just raised $157 for the MeFine Foundation.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.